Hey, I'm Carmen, host of Oyster's New World of Work podcast. I'm the community lead here at Oyster, and I'm also an organizational and business psychologist. I'm Spanish, but have lived my whole life in the Netherlands, Italy, and the UK. And now I live in sunny Barcelona. I love helping people thrive in the workplace. Part of my role is leading our People Builders community, which is a place where people and culture leaders, managers of all kinds, and future of work pioneers come to find the connections, answers, and tools that they need to navigate this complex world of remote and distributed work. Throughout my career, I've had the chance to connect with so many great leaders. I've heard their wins, their challenges, and helped uncover hidden opportunities. I hope to share some of that knowledge with you on this podcast. Over the next season, we will be diving into topics that are top of mind for today's people leaders. From supporting Gen Z in the workplace to the rise of fractional work, you'll hear from leaders who are building forward-thinking, innovative, and compassionate workplaces. Sometimes we're lucky enough to have that one person who truly inspires us. Someone who supports, cheers us on, and makes us feel like we've got this. A mentor. This week, I'm diving into the world of mentorship with Demario Bell, Senior Community Manager at CultureAmp. Starting his career in higher education, Demario made a transition into the HR tech industry, bringing along his expertise in community management and his passion for creating inclusive spaces. Focused on building thriving communities, Demario is dedicated to fostering meaningful connections and creating positive change in the HR tech world. Today, he's here to share his insights on mentorship in the new world of work. Hello, Demario. Welcome to New World of Work. We are delighted to have you on board with us today.
I'm so happy and honored to be here, Carmen. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. And for our listeners, if you could please, state your name, introduce yourself briefly, and just share a little bit about your career experience so far.
Yeah, happy to. So Demario Bell, I use he, him pronouns. I'm based in San Francisco, California, and I'm a person who just have a natural love for humanity. So I'm really excited to talk about today's topic. But currently, I'm the Senior Community Manager at CultureAmp. So we're an HR software company based out of Melbourne, Australia, and I'm based out of our San Francisco office. And I have the honor, as I always say, to lead our global HR community of over 100,000 folks who believe in our mission of creating a better world of work as possible. I've been a community builder, Carmen, for the past decade of my life. I love bringing people together. I love the whole idea of community. But prior to getting a start in community and working in tech, my background is in higher education, where I worked in various roles, but latest role was working in mentorship, which is a topic we're going to dive into today, which I'm very, very passionate about. Another thing that I often share a part of my intro, Carmen, is that I am a first-generation college graduate, so I'm the first in my immediate family to graduate from a four-year institution. And the reason why that's so important to me, because mentorship played a role in that. And I can't wait to share more about that. But it also, it shapes how I interact with the world, how I empathize with people, and how I approach my work. And so that's a little bit about me.
And I love how diverse your career has been, right? But all the while, with that thread of the humanity piece and the people piece, right? All the way through.
Yeah, absolutely. And, when I reflect on, what I've done, Carmen, I ask myself, what has been that through line? And to your point, it has been people. It has been how... And I don't want to sound hyperbolic, but it's just how do I really leave my mark on the world where I am? I had a mentor in high school who shared with me. I was majoring in radio and television in high school. I really thought that I was going to be a journalist. I thought I was going to be the male version of Oprah. I was that was my aspiration.
Well, still can happen.
It still can happen. It's true. It still can happen. But he told me, he said to Mario, he said, don't focus on being famous. He said, focus on being effective, because if you're effective, people will remember you. And Carmen, I tell you, I carry that throughout my life because it's so true. The people who we still remember are those who are effective or who have made an impact in the world for better or for worse. And so that is my through line, people and humanity.
And I was literally just going to ask you, you know, what would be your elevator pitch? But I think this is probably it, right?
I think that's it. I mean, like, so you teed that up well. Absolutely.
Amazing. Amazing. I can't wait to dive more into everything. And, you know, I'm the community lead at Oyster. So I'm like, oh, I want to dive into lots of community stuff. But no, today we're talking about mentorship specifically. But yes, yes. But so tell me a little bit more about your beginning of the career. So you started in education before ending up in the more HR world. You know, what inspired you to switch? What was the reasoning there?
Great question, Carmen. So, you know, I was on a podcast a couple of weeks ago where I said that when I was in college, I actually wanted to work in HR. And well, the truth is, the girls who lived down the hall from me when I was in college, one of them was majoring in human resources. And I was very fascinated by it. And I've had friends who were in HR. And so I always thought that people who majored in HR or who worked in HR were very important people. Now, this is the 18-year-old DeMario. This is my logic then. At the same time, Carmen, I did not want to go to business school. I thought at 18 years old, like that was like the one way that you can enter the world of HR. You and I both know like there are many pathways now to get to HR. Mm-hmm. But a step before that, Carmen, I really always wanted to be a teacher. Like, you know, in front of the classroom, in front of students. I've had some amazing teachers in my life. Amazing. I'm a product of public education, and I cannot tell you just the impact, you know, that public education has had on me, and public education has its cracks as well. But I'm going to talk about the things that it did leave me with that set me up for this marketplace that we're in. So I went to school originally to be a teacher. And what happened was I had a mentor of mine who called me up my junior year of college and who said, DeMario, and he was my chemistry teacher in high school, who said, DeMario, I really think that you should consider another career option. Now, to anyone who's read the book To Kill a Mockingbird and who knows the character Atticus Finch, one thing that Atticus did, he always, you know, inspired his children to do whatever they wanted and on the good of society. And my chemistry teacher was like Atticus to me. He whatever I wanted to do, he encouraged me. But when he called me and said, DeMario, pick another career option, you know, Carmen, it was like a fork in the road because I just knew I was always going to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But I was also paying for school out of pocket and I was in my junior year. So I only had like one more year left. I said, DeMario. So I dropped the education part of my major. I graduated with a degree in English. And I always tell people, you know, the good thing about a liberal arts degree, one can do anything with it. And then the bad thing about a liberal arts degree, one can do anything with it. So
yeah,
I had to figure out, you know, Carmen, what I wanted to do. So I ended up working in development. So the fundraising arm of universities. I did that at Grand Valley State University in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then I moved over to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, where I worked in fundraising and then focused on mentorship. So it was just like what I loved about fundraising. It allowed me to build relationships. So I worked with high net worth alumni. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, Carmen, I met some amazing people. And talk about social capital and access to social capital. It was just like beyond my wildest dream. Mm-hmm. And then here I am now building out this large-scale mentorship program, which you'll get into. And I'm having access to more people who are just the most influential, most wealthy, people who are building their careers, people who are like me trying to figure out what's next. And it was just like, I found myself collecting this digital anthology of people who I've met because everyone has a story to tell. So that's my background. And then around 2020, when the pandemic happened, I want to be honest with you, Carmen, I was like, I need to make a little bit more money. And I ended up joining an ed tech company, which was mission aligned with me.
Yeah.
I worked in customer success. And then Culture Amp popped up on my radar two years later in 2022. My former company was a customer. I love the mission. I love the product. And yeah, that was January 2022. April, I got a job offer. And then May, well, I didn't apply in January. I found out about Coltramp in January, applied in March, got an offer in April and started in May. So I want to get the sequence right. but you know what, Carmen, to bring this home, it was like my intersection of joy and purpose because I found my way back to HR. So something that was so beloved to me and at the same time, community. So here I am. I'm still able to build relationships with people and with a group of people who I've always wanted to jam out with. So,
And it's such a testament to, you know, you can access so many different careers in so many different ways, right? There is no one path, you know, that is like step one, step two, step three. There's just so many different avenues. And yeah, I love that. I love that story.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmen. And you're right. You know, like life is not linear. I mean, like in the terms of like experience and how we move through it. And to your point, and I when I mentor students, I often, you know, I tell them, you know, and forgive me for rambling, but I want to make this point, Carmen. The best job I ever had was an entry-level role that I had at the University of Michigan. Mm. And the reason why that entry-level role was the best because it allowed me to be a generalist. And so it allowed me to learn about multiple teams, dip my feet into a couple of things. It was very formative for me. Mm. And as you know, like the more you move throughout the marketplace and take on roles and with more responsibilities, you just don't have an opportunity to be a generalist anymore. They're wanting you, or they're needing you rather, to be a specialist in a particular domain. And so I've always been open to what I can learn from opportunities. So I've never chased a role. I've always chased what I can learn and what I could bring to the table. And whatever that role needs to be, I leave that up to the team to figure out what that needs to be. Now, I'm not taking anything, but I will tell you this, I'm in service to the work. And so whatever the work requires, I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's more of a skills-driven and mission-driven approach, right? And then whatever the title is, you know, can vary depending on where we are in the world and what we're doing. But it's that underlying foundation.
So true.
Well, let's get into mentorship.
Yes.
So before diving into kind of the more remote-based, you know, mentorship strategies more generally, I would love to just understand mentorship, you know, more broadly. So why is it important? And, you know, why is it important specifically in workplaces? Tell me more.
Thank you, Carmen. Yeah, so I love mentorship and I can talk about this all day. And I just want to say, like, this is from my perspective, how I look at mentorship, just given my former life as a practitioner. Mentorship means many things to many people. And I define mentorship, there's like capital M mentorship. So the formal process, one-to-one or one-to-many. And then there is lowercase m mentorship, which are like, what are those mentorship-like moments?
Yeah.
That can happen through a one-on-one. That can happen through a coffee chat. There are ways in which that can facilitate, and that's still mentorship. Mm-hmm. But why mentorship is so important? It is important because, Carmen, how I always look at it, it's being able to give back in a really meaningful way.
Yeah.
I think that the whole, when you have power and privilege, and we all have power and privilege, depending on the settings that we're in, it's that we should give it away.
Mm.
And mentorship allows you to do that because at some point, we've gotten to a place in our career where we have influence.
Yeah.
And that now we can share some things that we wish that someone told us along the way, or we're sharing things that people did share with us along the way. So we're like, we're giving back in that way.
Mm.
The other piece of that, Carmen, is access to social capital. So you and I, we touched on that earlier. Like, social capital is so important when you talk about mentorship. I may have relationships to people who could help you try to move something forward. And I could be a connector in that, even if I don't have the skill set. But it's like, who do I know that can help them? The other piece about why mentorship is important is because I always tell people, it's something that my pastor once told me, you're like, you know, you don't need folk until you need folk.
Hmm.
And so, and what he means by that is that mentorship really allows you to build like foundational, really trusting relationships with people, and that they would be willing to help you in time of need. But mentorship also means many things to many people. So there's like no one definition to mentorship. You know, like how I might define mentorship, Carmen, might be differently than how you define mentorship based on where we are in our life, based on where what we're looking for. So it could vary based on, you know, on the individuals. But I will tell people this, you know, when people do hear mentorship, they often hear relationship. And some people don't have time for a relationship, which is what I talk about, the lowercase m. But in terms of the workplace, you know, why mentorship is important is because, A, we just don't have, depending on who you are, you just don't have the same pathways to professional and career development.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm not just talking about promotion. I'm just talking about assignments, projects, access to leadership, access to opportunities outside of the workplace, being able to go to conferences, take development courses, go back to school, having the company pay for it. And having a mentor, could, especially someone who has influence, could really break down some of those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I have so enjoyed about some of the mentors in my past life, you know, Carmen, is that they've mentioned my name in rooms I haven't been in. They've been able to appeal and go to someone most senior and most powerful and say, DeMario has earned this.
Yeah.
And then it has opened a door for me where I probably could have done it. That road might have been longer, but I had a mentor who gave up some of the social capital to say, I'm going to make this possible for you today. So the workplace is so important, and we can break down based on the identities in which we all carry into the workplace, what that means. And so, but at the heart of that, mentorship is so important because it really does help break down barriers. It really does help, you know, give opportunities to people who have earned it. So this is not about giving opportunities to people who haven't earned it, but for people who are working their behinds off, who are doing the right thing, and no matter how hard they work, they just won't get that opportunity. They still want the identities in which they hold. So that's why mentorship is so important, because the right person could say, Carmen, I'm going to make that possible for you today. And that could be your way of just being able to just like have a greater impact on the world and be able to do the same thing that person did for you.
Yeah. Wow. It's so inspiring. And, you know, the image that comes to mind while you're speaking, DeMario, is like, you know, that staircase where someone is helping you up, you know, and holding their hand and they're helping you up the stairs. And then you turn around and you help someone else up the stairs and, you know, so on and so forth. And it's, yeah, wow, it's giving me shivers actually, because it's so meaningful. It's so, so meaningful.
It is. And I often think about, you know, Carmen, the folks who really don't know what mentorship is, and or the folks who don't know how to access it. And, you know, let me say this, you know, when I worked in higher education and particularly building up mentorship programs, and I did it at my last company as well, but I want to focus on higher education because at least here in the United States, Carmen, we were, you know, as a Black male, I grew up in the city of Detroit, so urban community, middle-class household.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, I was told, just go to college. College was, it was like, college would be that great equalizer.
Yeah.
Like, once you go to college, you get your degree, it's going to solve all your problems.
Mm.
And Carmen, you and I both know that is the furthest from the truth. It's like, it's just, it's picking up a new set of problems, a new set of barriers. And so when I worked in higher ed, I paid attention to who came into the office and who was getting mentored and who wasn't getting mentored. And at an institution like the University of Michigan, which is, you know, the number one public university in the United States, a part of the top 30, you know, institutions in the world. And I say that for context of the type of students who attend the University of Michigan. And then the parents, at this time, when I was there, the average family income, you know, at U of M was over $200,000. And so, you know, those students are being told, get a mentor, go to career services, tutoring. But Carmen, you think about the student who either grew up in a rural community, who grew up in an urban community, where those, the word mentorship is not a part of the everyday dialogue or part of the lexicon. And so how I might think of a mentor might be a relative. It might be the neighbor a few blocks, but I'm not thinking that's mentorship. I'm just thinking that's the one who I just idolize, you know? And at the same time, I want to connect that back. Those same students, when they go to college, they're trying to pick a career that's going to make them the most money, because often they got to take care of family. The second piece to that is, I got to go to school and I got to work. So extracurricular like mentorship is not high on the list, but you and I both know like mentorship pays dividends. And this is not an indictment on students who don't access, but I worry about the students who don't know about it or who don't access it, because then when you get into the workplace, you're also lost. Like, how do I identify a mentor? in the workplace, which can be tricky. And sometimes, yeah. Carmen, that might not be your people leader. That might not be anyone in your department. That might be someone who works in a completely different function. But what brings you together might not be the functional work. It could be the other identities that bring you together. And I have a really, really great story about that for my own self. But I just want to say that just like why it's so important and like how I've seen it play out, yeah. both in the workplace and also in higher ed.
Yeah. It's so important. And, you know, I think traditionally, or not traditionally, but rather stereotypically, people could be thinking of mentorship as this, like, you know, you have coffee and it's like in person, yes. in the office, and someone is like quite literally physically your mentor there.
Yeah.
But what happens when this is remote, right? Where maybe you don't have access to as many people, or you don't know, or, you know, tell me a little bit more about how mentorship changes or is different in a remote setting.
You're right. Yeah. And I've experienced both, you know, yeah. in person and virtual. Mm-hmm. And when it's virtual, like hybrid, virtual, fully remote, some parts of it remain the same, and mm-hmm. then some parts of it differ. Let me start with the parts that differ.
Yeah.
Now, we just know that depending on the background that you hold, like mentorship requires intentionality. Mm-hmm. I think in a hybrid world, it becomes even more intentional because to your point, you're not having those chance moments in the workplace where you can interact daily or frequently mm-hmm. with your colleagues or with people within the company. And so we lose that because now in this virtual world, Carmen, when you and I, we meet together, it's for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. We're working on a project together. We're part of a group assignment. You have a question. So there's typically a reason why we get together. Whereas in the workplace, like if I see you in the cafeteria, or if I see you in the hallway, we're going in the same direction, we could have a quick conversation.
Yeah.
And I tell people what a relationship is, and I'm going to get to my point. What a relationship is, Carmen, it's just frequency of touch. Mm. And so those 2-second walks that you and I might have in the hallway, they build up to a place where I'm like, I really admire Carmen. Mm. And I want to like formalize something. And I could approach you and say, Carmen, I've enjoyed our conversations. I really enjoy like your perspective on work. You know, this is where I see, you know, myself. This is how I really would like you to support in that. Mm-hmm. Would you be open to that? Mm-hmm. We've built mm-hmm. that. We've built that up through those micro moments. Mm-hmm. In the hybrid world, it becomes challenging because we don't have those moments.
Yeah.
You know, we might have like water cooler conversations, but not everyone partakes in that. So in the hybrid world, it really requires intentionality. Okay. So it puts a lot of onus on the person who wants to be mentored
yeah.
to really identify a mentor. And that could look a number of ways. That could go to your people leader, you know, and mm-hmm. say, when you talk about career development, like, I really want a mentor. And they can help you think through like how you might go about that. It could be if your organization offers a formalized mentorship program, raising your hand to participate in that. The other piece is it might not even be someone within your organization. It could be a professional organization that offers mentorship and you can participate in that way. Now, when you talk about like now the frequent interactions, I often tell people that mentorship is not pairing two random people together, crossing our fingers and hoping that they get along. That's mm. not mentorship. It's a little bit more intentional to that.
Yeah.
And so I think that once you've identified a mentor, you have to come with a plan. How often are we meeting? Who's setting the meetings? Mm. What are we talking about? What are the outcomes? So it's very clear around accountability. But then what I like about the virtual sense is that it does allow access. So we're not only beholden to like a physical space, but you and I can meet, you know, anywhere in the world, you know, mm-hmm. and then you can be intentional around if you are close by a meeting in person. One of the things I've loved about this, you know, I mentor someone, I'm in San Francisco, I was mentoring a student in London, and not a student, a working professional in London. It was organized through my current employer, and I loved our virtual meetings. Mm-hmm. We just had the privilege. I was traveling to London for work to meet actually in person okay. in London. And that was beautiful. The other point I want to say to this, to come off of this, Carmen, is that even if I could not have met them in person, it's introducing some of the other people in my local and in their local community who I know to be an extension of me. So so virtual also offers that as well. And I've seen it happen where, like, if you aren't able to make it work, I don't think you lose anything from not meeting in person. And I think that meeting in person is always additive, but you always think about, like, I know someone who's near you. Mm-hmm. They're right aligned with me. I want to connect you. And that just tends to just 10x it as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so how would we ensure, you know, in this potentially like more virtual and hybrid setting that, you know, these programs are, well, programs, whether that's mentoring with the small M or mentoring with the big M, you know, that it is inclusive and it is supportive, particularly, I would say, of BIPOC employees, you know, when we have this remote setting. DeMario has such a contagious energy, and you can truly feel his passion. His focus on community and the importance of mentorship really resonates with me. When he said, "You don't know you need folks until you need folks," I couldn't help but nod along. It's so true. It's never too early to start building those supportive networks, as you'll want them in place before you actually need to lean on them. I also appreciate DeMario's more nuanced approach to mentorship. While mentorship is incredibly beneficial, the quality of mentorship and the systemic barriers people face all play a huge role. It's a reminder that we need to zoom out to consider the bigger picture and that mentorship quality is what really matters. After discussing the process of establishing mentorship in the modern workplace, I then wanted to shift gears and ask him how we can approach this process while centering inclusivity.
Yes, great question. That's a big question too.
Yeah, big question. Yeah.
It's a big question. And let me first say, when I often hear the word inclusive, you know, Carmen, I always start by asking, what do you mean when you say inclusive? Like, who comes to mind for you? You know, and then we can build from there.
Mm.
Assuming you and I were both operating off the same version of inclusivity, which we are. I've always been intentional around, when I design mentorship programs, really starting with certain populations, Carmen, or having specific programs that really tailor to certain populations.
Yes.
I don't want people to hear that no one has access, because everyone has access. But when we talk about inclusion and equity, we just know that certain populations in the workplace need more tailored support.
100%.
And more tailored access. That's where equity comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to higher ed. I'm connected back to the workplace. And I worked in higher ed, and my colleagues and I, when we talked about mentorship and like what that means for retention, admissions, like connecting it to the entire student journey, I've always talked about, you know, Carmen, if you design mentorship programs with students who are at the margins, you know, in mind, you're going to hit everyone else along the way. I feel the same way about in a workplace.
Mm.
So what organizations have done, they've put that on employee resource groups, which I it depends on the organization. I really think that needs to be an FTE, so full-time employee's responsibility, because running a mentorship program is so intentional. So to get to your point is, I always tell people, when you're designing a mentorship program, maybe you have this broad mentorship program where all employees can access. But let's start developing like some tailored programs. And maybe you want a program for BIPOC professionals who are maybe entry level. So if you want to get very specific, like BIPOC professionals who are entry level, pairing them with other mentors. I don't subscribe to the notion that, Carmen, just because I'm Black, I need to be mentored by another Black person.
Exactly.
And I don't want anyone to think, like, if I prefer that, then great.
Yeah.
But I just don't believe that. But it might be, you know, Black employees, you know, if you work in the tech industry, women in tech, it could be AAPI. It could be first gen, like, employees. Like, I'm a first generation, you know, salaried employee. You know, Carmen, I might not know around, like, how do I budget my money? What does it mean to be a salaried employee? You know, so it's like all these things that can lend itself to mentorship relationships. So when you talk about mentorship, it's when we talk, like, what are we, I hate like to say solve for, but it's just like, what are we trying to accomplish? You see what I'm saying? And so I always say that when we talk about how do we make sure they're inclusive, is make sure you have the right voices at the table building out these programs. And it can't be about tokenism. It can't be based on assumptions. It has to be co-created. It has to be. Some people feel like, oh, everything can be democratized. It's not about democratized. It's about inclusion. It's about you, if you're going to offer something that's going to really impact your employee experience or try to impact your workplace, you have to bring people along that journey, because we just know that employees, especially with something like mentorship, if they're part of that process early on, they're going to take more ownership of it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to take it with more seriousness and want to participate more. And so for me, that's how I've always thought about it, through my own lens. It's like, you know, you could have this broader mentorship program, but what are those specific programs that tailor to certain populations in your organizations?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, like, as an employee, it needs to feel authentic and real also from the company, if that's the program that they're, you know, implementing. If it feels, again, like you said, this like this tokenism or just like a checkbox exercise, employees will feel that, right? So sure. It really does need to have this, again, this underlying value that is human at the end of the day, rather than just, oh, we need to do this because it's in the playbook.
You know, Carmen, I love that you said that, because it's true. It has to be authentic and it has to be real and it has to be meaningful. Like, some of my favorite relationships have been built off of authenticity. And I'll share this with you. You know, I say that, you know, I've had the privilege of having some great mentors in my professional career recently, in the past couple of years. And I recently had a mentor who I met. We started around the same cohort here at CoachRamp. And what ended up connecting us closer, so I work in global marketing and he was a senior leader in the product org. And what brought us together, we were in a meeting and when I was introducing myself, I shared with a group that I'm a first generation college graduate. As I shared with you, and he sent me a Slack note and he said, I'm also a first gen college graduate. And I felt so seen in that meeting. And Carmen, we come from opposite parts of the world, don't share the same, you know, background in many areas, but it was that thing. And while that might seem small, it's so important. And that was the start of a relationship that evolved to a mentorship. So we met. And the word mentorship never came up. Like, it just, but we knew what it was. Like you know, and it was, we met biweekly and never missed a meeting. And if we had to move it, we were very intentional about rescheduling in that moment and holding it. We did that for 2 years and we're still continuing. He's moved on from CoachRamp. And what I loved about that is, like, where I felt that I wasn't getting mentorship coaching or from my direct managers, I could go to my mentor, I could problem solve. I could get help with navigating challenging relationships. I could get help on certain projects. So, and then we just talked about, like, life, you know, outside of that. Everything doesn't have to be about the work. The work will always be there. Sometimes it's just like, I'm dealing with this in my personal life. Like, how might you approach this? And so what was so beautiful about that is that I often tell people, mentorship, the person doesn't have to check all the boxes. And really, you know, Carmen, each mentor that I've had as of recently, the past 10 years of my life, they have been in, like, totally different career paths than me. Like, my first formal mentor that I had in college was a partner at a law firm and was head of their commercial litigation practice. And I tell him this now, we joke about it, but I was like, I did not want you as my mentor. I'm like, I wanted to go to school to be a teacher. So I'm looking for someone who worked in education. And, but what was so beautiful about our relationship, and he's a dear friend with me. I've traveled with him and his family. I've spent holidays with him. I have individual relationships with his family. Like, it's so beautiful. What brought us together and just made us so close was that faith. So I identify as a Christian and he was a Christian, and it just went from there. So I always tell people that, you know, Carmen, the person might not be 100%, but what is that through line that is important to you? And then just go from there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And do you have any advice for people, you know, either looking for a mentor or looking for a mentee in a remote setting, you know, to find those meaningful connections somehow? Like, what advice do you have?
I'm going to offer feedback for both. And I'm going to start with those who want to be mentored. I would first say, introduce that conversation to your people leader early on. So if you're listening to this, please introduce that conversation to your people leader, because is so important because your people leaders there that help you guide you through the organization and let you know like what is available to you. If you are connected to an employee resource group, connect with the leads to understand like what options might be available to you. And if nothing exists, then start forming some informal programs. So connect with other folks who might want this and bootstrap it, to be completely honest with you. Like bootstrap it and then worry about scale later. Like get the foundation and then like you can focus on scale. But I would say be clear about what you want in a mentor. Mm-hmm. And if you see someone now in an organization that you admire, who share your values, you just click very well with, bring that conversation up.
Yeah.
And just say that, you know, hey, like, I would love if you could be my mentor. And there are two things they could say. They could say yes, or they could say not right now. Mm-hmm. And if they say not right now, it's not because they don't want to. It could be based on capacity. Mm-hmm. In that season where they are, or it could be that they might not think that, you know, they have it to mentor. And there could be some things that they're trying to work through as well. If you have a relationship, dig through that, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe ask them like, you know, who else might you recommend as well, you know, if they aren't able to. But I believe, I'm 10 out of 10, if you have a relationship with this person, they're going to make it work, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to your point is, it has to be real. It has to be authentic. And I want to say that mentorship is not transactional. So don't treat it as transactional. You're not doing this because you want something down the road. Mm-hmm. You're doing this because of you are trying to build upon something that's really beautiful and just have more access and to learn and mm-hmm. to nurture. That's really what it is, like nurture. On the mentor side is, I would say that if you see talent across the business that you've worked with, it doesn't mean someone that you've directly managed, but someone that you've worked with or you've seen, say their name in rooms that mm-hmm. they're not in, send a note to their people leader. Mm-hmm. You know, that can go afar. Set up some time to just check in with them. You know, that mm-hmm. could be really, really meaningful. Send them a note. There are ways that you can build towards that. I was like, mentorship doesn't have to be the first step. It could be the result of a series of steps. Mm-hmm. But if you are a mentor, take it with such seriousness mm-hmm. and preciousness, because it takes a lot for someone to put themselves out there to ask to be mentor. But it also says a lot about that they trust you to be someone they seek advice from. Mm-hmm. And anytime someone has come to me, Carmen, to ask to be mentored, it has meant so much to me, because I often say to myself then, like, what have I done or what have I presented out to the world that would compel someone to look at me as a role model? Because that's really what a mentor is a role model. And so that's a big compliment for someone to come to you and say, you know, Carmen, I believe in you so much. And I love the way that you've role modeled X, Y, and Z. I want you to import some of that into me. So be intentional about it. Be transparent. And when I mean about transparent, be transparent around and setting boundaries, what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do.
Yes, super important.
Oh, goodness, Carmen, it is super important. Both boundary and expectation settings are so important mm-hmm. because, Carmen, I might be coming into the relationship expecting one thing and you might not be able to deliver upon that, or you might not want to deliver upon that right now. And so now that could build resentment. It's just a number of things. And it doesn't make you a bad person or me a bad person. We just didn't communicate around what those boundaries are. Mm-hmm. And so that's very, very important. And then the other piece I would say about to mentors as well, don't always leave it to the mentee to make that first step. You know, it's bi-directional, to be completely honest with you. Sometimes it may take you noticing someone and saying, you know what, DeMario, you've been working really hard here at Culture from my POV. I would love to mentor you. Mm-hmm. And here are the areas in which I would like to continue to support you. Mm-hmm. It's because I've seen you do great as a public speaker. How can I help you become even greater? Let me connect you with some public speaking agencies. Let me connect you with some public speaking opportunities. So it's those moments, because when we talk about first generation employees or employees who are from historically marginalized identities, culturally speaking, Carmen, they might not make that first step. But also just around the world, you know, there are other cultures and ethnicities and races who are not extroverted in that way. And so it might take someone who has, you know, more influence and power to make that first step. So don't always leave it to the person who wants to be mentored to make that first step, because then that's not equitable or inclusive by design. Mm-hmm. Make that first step. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. And I think there's two things here, right? It's one, it's realizing that even if there's no mentorship with a big program in your company, that you are still able to get mentored or to mentor, because it is, like you said, it's that connection piece, relationship piece, advice piece.
Yeah.
But also, if you're not even aware that that's a possibility, that's where this really comes in. It's like, take that first step and know that it's normal and that everybody, you know, is very, like you said, probably 100% of the time, probably people just say yes.
Yes. Yes. And Carmen, we use the donut app here, which has been helpful. And I've been able to meet some really, really cool people. Mentorship also doesn't have to be top down. You know, and what I mean by that, it doesn't have to always be someone most senior mentoring someone most junior. We know that, but that's like traditional mentorship. So when we often think of mentorship, we think of someone most senior mentoring someone most junior. The trend is moving now. Those who are most junior are mentoring those most senior because of how the future of work and the world of work is changing. And I even think, like, let's just take HR for an example.
Yeah.
Like, the world of HR has evolved. So you think about someone, Carmen, who has been doing HR for 30 years. You have someone who's been doing it now for 5 years. There's a learning opportunity there in terms of just like, how do you engage employees? How do you connect with employees? How do you approach the work? Those are two perspectives there. Mm-hmm. And so now you're seeing some of that, what we call reverse mentorship, that is happening. And that is really powerful. The other piece is like peer mentorship, which is really, really important. So I might be mentoring a peer of mine who's in a completely different practice of the business, but are thinking about pivoting to my area, or vice versa, or pivoting somewhere else. And so mentorship can look many ways and be very, very effective. And so I not only mentor people who are more junior than me, I mentor some of my peers, some at other organizations. I am a mentee to folks, vice versa. So it can look a number of ways. And I just wanted to say that mentorship doesn't always have to look as we know it to be those who are most senior mentoring those most junior.
Absolutely. Because there could be someone, you know, even in your circle or in your team that has a skill that maybe you want to, you know better, or is just, you know, inspiring in some way that can support you, or you can support them.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. And are there any particular tools or programs that you recommend that are, you know, really focusing on mentorship or inclusivity and belonging, particularly in mentorship in this kind of remote and hybrid world?
Yeah, you know, I've been mentoring with a few organizations in my local community, some college students, which are great. This is like a shameless plug, Carmen, but my former company.
Please plug.
My former company, Mentor Collective, they're a US-based company, but they serve the entire world. They're a mentorship company and they have a mentorship platform, which is amazing. Because when you think about like mentorship and access across the globe, they have this amazing platform that will pair you with a mentor or a mentee based on your preferences, give you a guide on how to structure the relationship and go from there. And then you just have a regular check-in moments. And so Mentor Collective is one of them. There's a suite of, like, I come from an ed tech space, so I know. I tell people just go to Google and just type in mentorship platforms or programs and those will come up. So I know that Mentor Collective is doing great. Big Brothers Big Sisters is another good one. Outside of that, that's the only exposure that I've had, Carmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, such a simple first step, right? Just like even Google mentorship program. I don't think I've actually done that. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do that now. This is such a great idea. Yeah.
It would be a great starting point. I mean, if you're looking to be mentored, or if you're looking to mentor, I mean, that would be a great first step. I mean, before I lived here in San Francisco, I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States. And I didn't know anyone. I moved there for work. Carmen. But I'm gonna be honest with you, that's what I did. I just went to Google and just typed in mentorship, well, professional mentorship.
Yeah.
And a list of like organizations had come up. And I just did some, you know, foundational research and then narrowed down my list. It might sound archaic. People are like, really? No, it works, you know? Yeah. Or even if you're looking for a solution at your organization, you know, you can find some that way as well. Google is your friend in this case. So, and also word of mouth, like ask your peers as well. Like word of mouth is so powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, DeMario, I could honestly be talking to you about mentorship all day. Well, and more, obviously. I want a whole day with you.
Same.
But I have one more final question. And we ask all of our guests this on New World of Work.
Okay.
And that is, what is the best mistake you've ever made and why?
Oh, the best mistake I've ever made and why? Okay, so I hope I'm answering this correctly. For me, it was ego. And the reason why I'm gonna tell you why was the best mistake. And I love that, by the way. So when I was working at the University of Michigan, my executive director trusted me to run this very important committee of donors. And so talk about like mentorship and access. Like I was a junior employee. He trusted me with this. Was not my assignment at all. Like, but anyway, I was working with a group of alums who just had a lot of feeling. There was a lot of stuff in the, you know, Carmen, like stuff in the middle there. And I had all this biased information.
Mm.
And so when I went into like managing this group of people and trying to engage them back with the university, it just added to it. Because I went in like, I know best. Like I have all this one-sided information. And what it did was that it created more friction than good.
Mm.
The beautiful part of that is, and that was for a year, the beautiful part of that is the chair of the committee took me out to lunch one day. And I was so scared because we just did not get along. And he gave me so much meaningful feedback. One of the things I remember from that conversation, of the many things that he said, DeMario, you have to pay your dues. And what he meant by that, he said, DeMario, he said that you have to give before you can get. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how I entered that relationship and how I entered working with that group. And so the biggest mistake in that was going into that with my ego. But what I learned from that is the art of humility and being willing to not know everything, even if you are a subject matter expert. Because sometimes, Carmen, your intellect might not be that thing that binds you together. Sometimes that might be off-putting to some people. And so I love that I had that experience early on in my career because I've learned how to check my ego at the door and lead with humility first. So that was the biggest mistake. It was going into a situation with biased information and not checking my ego at the door and having to use that as a learning lesson. And here I am now, you know, a people connector.
Wow. I absolutely love that. I love
it. Thank
you. Humility first.
Humility first, absolutely. And if I can just say one more thing, Carmen, I hope I'm not jumping.
No, of course.
The one thing that I want to, you know, when we talk about mentorship, I want to just say to the audience is that the first is take risks. And I've taken risks throughout my career, throughout my personal life. And for some people who are more, you know, risk averse, that might, you know, not sound appealing, but serendipity happens when we take risks. And the second piece to that is to bet on yourself. And I tell that to anyone, like you are your best advocate. And if you aren't going to bet on anyone else in this world, put all your chips on yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say that, like take risks and bet on yourself.
DeMario, you are inspiring me. I'm like ready to take on the world right now. This is amazing.
It's chicken soup for the soul for me too, Carmen. This is just so beautiful. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for your time and your wonderful insights and your stories and the inspiration. Honestly, truly, it's been an honor to speak to you today.
Thank you. And likewise, and thank you for having me on New World of Work. I'm so honored.
Of course. Of course.
What a great chat with DeMario. Here are my key takeaways from our conversation. Co-creation is the secret to success. To truly meet your employees' mentorship needs, they must be part of the design process.
By involving them in program creation, you ensure authenticity. Here you show your team that, as a people ops leader, you're genuinely invested in their growth. Rethink what makes a good mentor. DeMario shares a powerful example of how he built a meaningful relationship with someone outside his industry. It's all about connecting over the same values. Factors like age, gender, race, seniority, or job title might matter less than you think. A mentor is someone you connect with on a deeper level, someone who truly resonates with you. Establish healthy boundaries. Whether you're creating a mentorship program or stepping into the role of a mentor, it's important to set clear boundaries about what you can and can't support. Being upfront about this isn't just okay, it's essential and builds a stronger bond. This helps mentees understand where the limits are and keep the relationships comfortable and respectful.